Hello and welcome to the Dancecast, where I explore dance as an art form, traveling to non-traditional places and with non-traditional doers. I'm your host and my name is Silva Lakkonen. So Charles.
What's up?
Guess what? It's episode 3 on my Dancecast.
Is it episode 3 already?
Oh yeah, it is.
Wow, man, you've been busy. Three times. That's like a charm or something.
That's what they say. But what do they say when you have your 333rd episode?
I don't know. They just call you old.
But guess who I was talking this time with?
Who?
Shira Greenberg from Kesha Dance Company.
Who's that?
Well, I'll tell you more about her. Shira is the founder and artistic director of Kesha Dance Company in Albuquerque, New Mexico, which was established in 1996. Her work has been recognized by the New Mexico Governor's Office and the President's Committee on the Arts and the Humanities. She has been the recipient of Albuquerque Arts Alliance's Bravo Award for Excellence in Dance, Martin Luther King Jr. Multicultural Council's Keep the Dream Alive Award for creating an environment where the medium of dance is used to build cross-cultural and social bridges to every aspect of society. A guest of Romanian's Ministry of Culture, speaking on Keshet's unique arts initiatives, and a cultural ambassador for the city of Albuquerque in Rehovot, Israel. In 2013, Shira opened the Keshet Center for the Arts, a 30,000-square-foot performing arts center, and the Keshet Ideas and Innovation Center, a business resource center for arts entrepreneurs. In 2016, she launched the Rio Grande Movement Collectors Festival, an annual gathering for artists from around the world to share and explore ideas, as well as the Keshet Fellowship for Contemporary Dance, a choreographic residency program. And really, when I was talking with her about all these things that she does, I kind of needed to pick up my jaw several times off of the table because she's pretty jaw-dropping amazing. So listen to this conversation and you can hear it yourself. So I'm here sitting with Shira Greenberg from Keshet Dance Company. You have several names for it. What is the proper name to call you?
Well, Keshet Dance Company is the official legal name of the organization, but over the past few years it's evolved. So there's Keshet Center for the Arts, which just opened 3 years ago.
Oh.
And then the Keshet Ideas and Innovation Center, which opened when the building opened as well. So there's a few things Keshet happening.
So tell us a little bit about Keshet. How did it start? You're the founder.
Yes.
And the artistic director.
Yes.
So tell us, how did you end up, where did it all come from?
Well, it came from a long road trip of trying to decide what to do with the rest of my life.
Wow!
Yes, and a broken radio where I had 47 hours of driving to do with no music to listen to. And I had done a lot of, you know, my background is in dance, but then I had been doing a lot of other type of work, working with kids and volunteering with social service organizations and all different things. And as I went on this long road trip, just was thinking, you know, what do I want to do with the rest of my life? And what if I want to do something with all of these pieces that I really enjoy, I'd have to have 17 different jobs and that would be difficult. And a little logistically confusing. So
I think you're talking about my life.
Perfect, yes. So I thought, well, maybe I should start a company where I can do all of those things in one place and shape it the way that I want. So that was really the seed that started it. And then I was here in Albuquerque very randomly, really fell in love with the space. I'm from Minneapolis originally, and when I came here to New Mexico, loved it. And there wasn't a lot of opportunity from a professional contemporary dance side of things, for just a person showing up in town to take a dance class. There wasn't a play. I wasn't here for the university, which has a great dance program, but I wasn't here as a student. So just coming into town saying, I'd like to take a class, there wasn't a lot of opportunity. There wasn't a contemporary dance performance company in town as well. And so I thought, well, Minneapolis has a lot of great options. So that doesn't make sense of where to start something. And it's much colder in Minneapolis than it is here. So all those things lent themselves to saying I should just start the company here.
And when was this?
1990. Well, the road trip process was 94. Maybe 94, 95. And then from that, I started to develop the idea a little bit more, but officially started the company in 96.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And so, but Kesha has now evolved to a much more than just a dance company.
Yes, yes.
So I was looking online. You guys go into several places to also, you don't only offer dance classes here in the center, but you also take your work outside.
Yeah. The whole idea when I started the company was, how can we bring a high level of strong quality dance education and performance to as many people as possible, particularly people that might not normally have access to that art form, and on all levels, as audiences as well as students. And it was a really broad, open mission to say, how do we do that then? And not being from New Mexico, really, I didn't want to pre-prescribe what that meant. So for the first year, just said that a lot. I just couldn't stop talking. That's what I just talked about to everybody. I went to meet with different neighborhood organizations and government organizations and communities. I just started talking all over the place and just to see who might need what is needed. And in that first year, two main entities came to me and approached me and said, hey, we've heard about you. We've heard you've been talking a lot and we're interested in having some dance in our community. And those two communities, one was the Youth Detention Center, the state detention center for the state of New Mexico, but it's based in Albuquerque. And one was Carrie Tingley Hospital, which is a children's hospital here in town. And both had very different populations that I hadn't worked with before as a dancer, but that was the point of just being very talkative and saying, yeah, who needs this? And so in both instances, worked with the professionals in that field and said, great, I know dance. Tell me what I need to know about your world so that we can integrate that. And then we did. So both of those programs on some level started in that first year and have grown over the past 20 years. So those are two key programs.
They're still going,
yeah. So the program in the detention center has hugely evolved over the past 20 years. So we started teaching once a week in the class. I always pretended to call myself we then.
All the other me.
Yes, me, the we. So I taught a class. It was an 8-week course, once a week, and it was pretty fascinating because what happened is I went in and I had to go through all of the background check information and get processed and, you know, be okay to go in there. And after all of that work and being in there for once a week for an hour, realized to make a true impact, a week isn't going to do anything. And said, you know, as long as I have all of my credentials now and I'm approved to come in, if I can find my own funding, can I come back on my own? And they said, fine. And so I just started showing up every day.
Oh, wow. Every day?
Yeah. Now we're there every day, 5 days a week. And the program then evolved to, it was just in the detention center at first. Because it's a youth detention center, there's also a high school on site.
Okay.
And so then it slowly evolved to become part of the school day. So then once we were in the school day, started looking at what is needed for these kids. And many of them have trouble learning for lots of different reasons. They've been bounced around in and out of schools. they maybe English isn't their first language, maybe they've already been labeled as a troublemaker, and so people stopped paying attention to them, or all sorts of different reasons. And so we started to look at how could we use movement to build a different bridge.
Through, to support the academic learning?
Exactly. Uh-huh. So we developed a curriculum that teaches math, literacy, science, and conflict resolution through movement. And so now that's in
that
the...
That sounds so brilliant.
It's an amazing... I mean, the thing is that it's, at least for me, it feels pretty natural. It doesn't seem like such a stretch because...
You are a kinesthetic learner. Yeah.
But what's amazing is when we work with these kids, and part of the reason why the program works so well is that we go in as artists. We don't go in as, you know, we're a parole officer or we're here from a punitive standpoint. We're here because we're artists. We believe you're artists. We're co-artists. We're going to create together. And so that levels the playing ground to begin with. And then we start teaching. And then we do pre-tests and post-tests that we sneak in there for for
wow.
math and all of the, you know, all of the different academic subjects. And in 6-week interval tracking, their test scores go up like 20% to 30%. It's really amazing. And so that program started going, or that track of the program was going. And what we were noticing then as we were in there working with the kids really on a regular basis and becoming very close with them is that they would then get paroled and released. And then shortly after would be returned to the facility. And we would say, you know, what's going on? You were doing great. Things were going well. You were excelling. You were telling us about your goals for your future. And then you're back in the facility. And as we dug around a bit, we found that the law was structured in a way that as the kids are released, they have to cut ties with everybody that they've worked with within the facility. And it creates a really very difficult situation.
So they have to go on their own without no support network.
Right. So you get assigned a new parole officer, a new social worker, a new team, even people. The idea is to say cut ties with anybody that maybe is a bad influence. But the reality that happens is that you're cut off from your entire support system. And the structure in New Mexico is that the facility is for ages 12 to 21. So some kids who go in at 13 or 14 years old and don't get released till 20 or 21, that's your entire
childhood
structure, you yeah. know? And so it's very scary. And then there's nobody that they've developed trust with that they continue to work with. So we worked with the Juvenile Parole Board and we got approved to become an organization that could continue working with them. And at the time, and I don't know if this is true now, but at the time we were the only organization that continued to work with them from inside and outside. And that was the game changer. So then what happened is that we then structured the program. So we work with them inside. And once they're done with the class with us, we created a pre-release track. So depending on the length of the remainder of their sentence, anywhere from a couple of months to a couple of years, we then continued working with them. And then a post-release component. So once they were released, we then, same thing, for a few months to a few years, keep working with them. And
so they come here to the center.
They come here, or depending on what, there's a lot of different variables that go into what's happened, so or where they go when they're released. So because it's a state facility, some are, when they're released, they go to other areas of the state.
That's
and in those
true.
Cases, we go to them. If they have a crime that relates to a child in any way, they don't come to the facility.
Yes.
But we set up a structure where we can still go to them. But many of them, it's completely fine for them to be here. And it's great for them to be here because then they're embraced in this community. And then they become, they're placed in roles where they're mentors. And so they have to continue to figure out what it means for them to be a mentor and to develop into this, you know, we kind of absorb them into the Keshet world.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. So,
and Michelle Obama also realized how amazing this program was. He got an award from her.
Yes, it was really, that was a huge honor. The poor person sitting next to me, I kept hitting them. I was like, can you, look at that. She's like, could you stop hitting me just for a few minutes?
Because you were like, I was, that's Michelle. She's right there.
it was really a huge honor. And it helped bring more attention to the program because of all the programs we do, it's actually one of the bigger programs that we do and the one that we publicize the least, because we're very careful about making sure that those kids feel very safe,
yeah,
and that we're not pointing them out, even if they're here. We're not saying, oh, this is a child that used to be in jail. Look how great they're doing now. You know, like, it's about moving forward. And we're not we can't take any pictures in there. We can't, you know, there's no, so it's an interesting program to publicize and to fundraise for, and to, you know, we have to keep it very quiet in some ways. And so it was great to get that honor, because it really helped bring attention to what we were doing. And that has helped to this next step, where we're now codifying the curriculum and piloting it in 5 different cities over the coming year, and which is thanks to an amazing grant from the Mellon Foundation. They found out about the program, very much believe in the program, and said, okay, let's see what could happen if you could take this and build a similar relationship between a dance company and a juvenile justice system in another community, help train them in this curriculum. And then the idea for us is to build those relationships, train the teachers, explain what the process is, and then slowly back ourselves out of each of those.
So mentor and support there on their road, yeah, and then back out yourself.
Yes, exactly. So we're
chosen your cities?
Yes. So we are currently going to be doing work in Helena, Montana, Minneapolis, Minnesota. We're going to be in Monticello, New York, and looking at also Hopkinton, Massachusetts, Phoenix, Arizona, and then possibly Seattle also. And we're working on the codification and the residency structure of how we do this training process. And through that process, we're also developing a show that will be created in each community. So it's a unique show for each community that is with the juvenile justice system, the dancers, and the community members, and ideally all of the kids that we can have access to and work with. And so the tester of that is happening with the University of Colorado Boulder as an interdepartmental residency between the dance department and the law school. So
wow, okay.
So that's a really amazingly exciting next venture. And the goal for us is to build it in a way so that we slowly can get kids who can get out of the prison system and stay out of the prison system. The ideal goal is that we work ourselves out of a job of this program, you know, so
yeah,
that
you're firing yourselves from every job.
It would
job.
Be terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in the meantime, there are kids falling through the cracks, and we're you know, wanting to make sure that we stay in there with them. So that is happening.
Oh my gosh.
So if that five city process gets going, if that seems to work, which I think it will, then we'll add another 15 cities so that there's 20 cities to start with.
That is amazing. Yeah. I'm almost like speechless. I don't know where to go from here. That is so amazing.
Yeah, so that was one of those programs that at the very beginning when we said, who needs this, they said, I think we do. And so that's really, I mean, that's kind of how we've tried to be more responsive than, you know, telling people what we think needs to happen. So the other program, the main program that came to us, uh-huh, Carrie Tingley Hospital, same thing. They said, we have kids in this rehab hospital that really could use something else so that they can be kids for a little bit. They're in rehab all day and they're doing all these things. And the same situation, I said, I don't quite know what that means, but can I work with the OTs and the PTs and learn more about how to do this? And we did, and it was funny. We actually had the same thing, a once-a-week, 8-week session, which was incredible and moving and wonderful. And afterwards, we were like, well, of course, this isn't just an 8-week session. This becomes part of what we're doing.
Yeah.
And so it did, and it's evolved, and that's what's turned into this whole adaptive dance program, was that question of, could you come work in the hospital for a little bit?
So now you have a lot of children with disabilities coming here,
yes,
taking class with inclusion class.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that program really, same thing, just grew a life of its own. And I, you know, I don't even think of it as a separate program necessarily, because that's the point, is that it's an inclusive program.
Yeah. Yeah.
But But it is in, you know, especially as you're defining it to the community of what does this mean and why is this different than mainstream dance? Yeah. So we have kids coming here, kids and adults with all different physical and developmental abilities. And then we also do quite a bit of community engagement work as well, where we're going outside of the building and doing other work with other groups as well.
And you have that homeless children's youth program as well.
Yes. So we have a kind of a spin off of the curriculum that we use in the detention center, where we're using some elements of some academic support through movement, but it's structured a little differently because we're not working with the kids on a daily basis. So we're usually working with the kids once or twice a week, and they are bussed in through the Title I Homeless Project, which is through the Albuquerque Public Schools. So they pick up children from throughout the city
that are homeless,
either at shelters or motels or different areas where they will pick up the kids. And then they bring them to centralized locations throughout the community in different schools, elementary, middle, and high schools.
Okay.
And then they provide them with more meals and some tutoring. And then we provide dance programming.
Wow.
So, yeah. Yeah.
What else? what else?
Well, one of the cool things that we did with the adaptive program recently is that we were able to take that, and this was through a great Engaging Dance Audiences grant through Dance USA, that we were able to build a production and a teaching tool and bring it around rural New Mexico and Southern Colorado and perform both traditional performances in more of a proscenium setting, as well as pop-up performances around town.
Oh, wow.
And then also teach some community classes, as well as some teacher training. So really looking at either existing dance programs or PE teachers that are looking for ways to incorporate students with different abilities in their PE programs, or even OTs and PTs, things like that. And so then we did those teacher trainings as well. The idea being, same thing, planting a seed so that those communities could start to build programs as we left. And some of them are working on that right now, which is great. So that's been going on. And we're still, that tour was called Seeds Along the Roadside because the idea was
plant
seeds along the roadside. And so we realized there were some more seeds to be planted. So we're still going to do some more of that. So those are some of those bigger programs. And then another big program that we recently added when we made this building come alive is the Keshet Ideas and Innovation Center.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me more about that. So I was trying to read online about it.
Yeah. So that is really an exciting program in so many ways. So it's a business incubator and resource center for arts entrepreneurs. And so it's not just dance and it's not even just performing arts. It's arts of any genre. So essentially, if you identify as an artist, then that is
applicable
for you. Yeah. And so there's a couple tracks within it. But essentially, it's if you are trying to make your art form into a paying job and or even beyond that, make it into a job for many people and build a business around that, not just your own self-employment, then if you need other tools and resources to help build that, you can get those here. So there's also a track where you can have a residence here where you can have your offices and have all these other resources. So those offices actually are now completely filled. We have a jeweler, we have two independent filmmakers, we have a theater company and an artist co-op.
Wow.
It's really
amazing. Is that the one upstairs?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And then everybody else who doesn't live here essentially has a general membership, and those members, you have access to any of the classes that we offer free of charge. The membership is super inexpensive. It's $60 a year
for an individual,
and $120 a year for a business, which $5 or $10 a month. And so then we don't teach anything about the art itself. That's the artist's business. But we have classes in everything else, from intellectual property law, employment law, budgeting, marketing, fundraising, board development, all sorts of different categories where either you know you need to know it, but you're not quite sure where to start, or you didn't even know it was something you should be thinking about. So you go, oh, maybe I should think about intellectual property law. And really the way that we see it is almost like a matchmaking service and like a through line. There's a lot of amazing business resource support programs in Albuquerque. It's actually an amazing city for entrepreneurs. But it's really intimidating for artists to try to tap into that existing entrepreneurship. Kind of, it's heavily tech industry. There's a lot of really incredible work happening, but it's kind of scary to like show up and say, I think I need to take a budget class and I'm going to go in with a bunch of business people. So as an artist, you can come here, you can take a 90-minute workshop, learn what that is, learn the language, understand what you know and what you don't know, and then get the resources to know what else happens in the city that you could learn even more from. If you feel like the basic information is what you need, great. If you feel like you need to dig deeper, usually the person who's teaching the class is also a person who teaches at all of those other places. And so we try to partner up with these other resources so that you get connected, and then it's not so scary to take the next step.
Yes.
So,
wow.
Yeah. So what's really cool about that is that over the past 3 years, we've been able to track that we've helped create 52 new jobs in the arts.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. So our original goal was to create 100 new jobs in the arts over the first 10 years. And it's been 3 years and we've already had 52 jobs created. So
you're probably going to make it.
Yes, we're going to make it. We're going to exceed it. It's going to be great. So
that is unbelievable. Seriously, I'm like, my jaw is dropping. I don't know. I'm getting so speechless here.
Well, I can keep talking.
Okay, good. I mean,
so we call it KIC. It's the Keshet Ideas and Innovation Center.
Okay.
So KIIC. So in the KIC program, some of the things we've been thinking about is what else is needed. I mean, artists need some of that support, of some of the business support. Also, you need camaraderie and you need to see people around. So that's why just the space itself is really great.
Yeah, otherwise, as an artist, become so isolated and lonely.
Exactly. And so then I'm thinking of it from the perspective of a dancer. What does a dancer need to create? And my own goal within New Mexico is to really promote and help develop more dance. Thinking of that, you need space, you need a studio, you need, if you want to sell your product after you've created your product in a studio, you need usually a theater to sell it in. And so how do you look at the development and the sale of that product if the product is dance, right?
Yeah.
And then also usually you need money to develop the product, to invest in the creation of the product. So
yes.
We started a fellowship, and this one is this year launching for the first time. And it's funded by the NEA, the National Endowment for the Arts. And so we created the Keshet Fellowship for Contemporary Dance, which have applications coming in right now. And the
deadline is September 15th, because I'm trying to make one.
Oh, good. Yes, so September 15th. And then what happens is that the selected fellow gets money and gets 3 weeks of space to create work, as well as theater space to present the work, and then support from Keshet within marketing and budgeting and structuring of logistics. And within the budget itself, the artist has to have a small amount matched that they can either use by fundraising or by other earned revenues that they want to generate. But we make sure that the ticket sale revenue is not included in the budget.
I see.
Because the idea is that what comes out of the revenue of this product sale, then that artist takes with them to be able to invest in whatever their next project is, so that it hopefully starts a snowball rolling a little bit.
Oh, wow. That is way better than I thought.
Yes. And the other thing
is you provide this black box studio with tech, you
with
mean
tech
the lights.
Support.
Yeah.
Yep. Tech support and the tech director support and our communications director to help with marketing. And so all sorts of good stuff in there. And not to mention space to create for, like, I think it's 175 hours worth of, or 275 hours of
creation. And you can take the company classes, you can take classes.
You have access to everything, and you have access to all of the business incubator classes as well.
Oh, wow.
And then the requirement is that you spend a minimum of 50% of your budget to pay artists. And the artists could be one artist, it could be yourself. It doesn't have to be multiple people, but as long as you are paying yourself, paying the other artists that are involved, we're really trying to push that concept that artists should be getting paid, and they should be paid for their time and their creative process
and their hard work.
So that piece of it is really exciting to be able to say, you know, come and create.
And this is the first year
is the first year that we're officially doing it. We dabbled in an idea of it last year, and we learned a lot from our attempt with it last year. And so from that, we set this year up a little bit differently. And one of the things we wanted to do...
Oh, and you did all the, like, pre-training of how to apply which I thought was fabulous idea.
Yes, we had a variety of sessions of if you have questions of how to fill out the application and, you know, put that together. And knowing that we would get more applications than we could provide the fellowship for, we made sure that the fellowship selection committee was comprised of incredible people from across the U.S., that are people that you would want your work to be seen by anyway. And so even if you're not selected as the fellow, your work has been across the desk of people who are looking at curating Jacob's Pillow or the Walker Art Center or, you know, places around and educators.
So it is not Keshet Dance Company then.
We don't select
you
it.
Do not.
No. And we wanted to be really careful about that we were saying we want to provide this opportunity, but we don't want to be the ones saying yes or no. Mm-hmm. And also use that as an opportunity to say, how do you make this a broader reach?
Yes.
I
actually saw the panelists.
Yeah.
They are all over United States.
Exactly.
So
it's a terrific panel.
Yeah.
And full of people. I mean, the panel themselves are people who not only are incredible in their field, but who are very passionate about the concept of how do you help emerging choreographers build that to that next step, and how do you help people in the field who are looking at getting an investment to start that process going, you know? So they're passionate about contemporary dance and new work, and
they know about it.
Exactly.
It's
exactly.
Not.
No, they're definitely
professionals
the best. Yes.
On the field.
Yeah.
So that's a great idea too, that you're going to separate yourself from the selection process.
Yes.
You're just the host and the start.
Yes, we can provide the resources,
yeah.
But we wanted to say, you know, bring your ideas and we will, whoever gets selected, we support that idea, you know.
So, that is great.
Yeah, yeah. And then the other piece that came out of that is that we thought, well, what about the point before that when you're trying to create work but you're not at a performance process yet?
Uh-huh.
And so that's the other piece that we just recently created was the Rio Grande Movement Collectors Festival, which is really a fun, it's like a big, massive jam session concept, a little bit. And what we just decided...
And when is that? When is it?
That is going to be the end of February through the beginning of March. It's a
okay, I
need
period. To mark my calendar.
Yes, definitely.
Gosh, I
definitely.
Cannot make all these
or you
appointments.
Could just, you know, come here all the time.
That's another
yes,
option.
Yes. So that we just said, well, what happens if we just open up the space? And we experimented with this last year. And
oh,
we said, okay, well, let's just pick. We've got a chunk of time, 10 days. We're going to say nothing else is going on. And, you know, we carve out time in the theater and in studio space. And I just emailed a few people that I know in a few other cities saying, if you know anyone that might want to use space, put the word out. We're going to provide free space, and in exchange, people can trade a masterclass or two in whatever it is that they want to teach. And we ended up with incredible people from San Francisco, Chicago, Tel Aviv, all over the place. And it ended up that it was cheaper to buy a plane ticket to come here and hang out for a while than it was to rent studio space for 4 days, you know, for 40 hours of time in.
And to perform your mm-hmm. work.
And so, and it wasn't, we didn't have any expectation of performance. It was really uh-huh. just where,
oh, yeah,
wherever
okay.
you are in the process at a very formative.
So you could, in a supportive environment, show your work in progress
you
and
could
get
if
feedback.
You wanted, uh-huh. Or you could just hole up in a studio and work for 4 days or a week or whatever. Or you could just come and say, I want to do a little bit of moving, but then I want to move with other people and see what that inspires. And I want to go back by myself. Or it was really self-directed.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But it was basically just, here is space. Do what you need to do in it. And then give us a couple master classes in exchange. And so we ended up with 25 master classes over the course of 10 days, where all of the dancers that came were taking each other's classes. And really fun things came out of it. You know, our Keshet photographer happened to swing by and he was like, whoa, what's going on? Let's all go out into the desert and take cool pictures, you know, and then all these great photos came out of it. And then, I mean, that was great for the dancers because they had a lot of new material that they could use for their own work. And they created different things on each other. And it was just a really fun, very impromptu kind of experiment that we did. And so we thought, well, let's try it again and let's see if this can continue to grow. So this year we've blocked out a chunk of time and we're putting the word out that if you want to come, it's basically first come, first serve. If you
that
say,
sounds
coming,
like a heaven.
I know, it's great.
I'm coming.
Good. Oh, I'm so glad.
Okay, so also, but I want to come and see the Nutcracker on the Rocks.
Yes.
It does seem like I need to move here.
I do think you do. I do think you do. Yes, yes. And this year is going to be the last year of the Nutcracker on the Rocks.
And it's been going on for like, what, 20 years?
This is the 20th anniversary.
What happened? Why did you decide to stop it?
Well, I mean, it's been 20 years.
Okay.
You know, and I might not want to listen to that song. it's great music. It's only bookended by Tchaikovsky, so we start with Tchaikovsky and end with Tchaikovsky, but everything inside is rock and roll and really fun music. But it's been 20 years and it's a huge production.
It involves over 100 people,
140
right.
cast members.
You're already rehearsing.
We're rehearsing already. We start early in August. And it really takes over the life of the company in many ways. And also, it's a wonderful show. I love the show and I love the community that it creates. It's an incredible experience with the dancers and then the community it creates with the audience. It's a really amazing show. So it is sad that it's wrapping up, but otherwise we don't have room to grow new programming and to grow
I
new
understand.
Shows.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and so that's something
I heard that it's like every weekend, several hour rehearsal process.
Yes, it completely takes over your
life. Yeah,
yes. Like starting in June. So it's definitely, it's a good, 20 seemed good. 20
I think
seemed like that was a nice
good round number.
Yeah. And not to say
and it was like after Thanksgiving.
Yep. Through the middle of December.
Yeah. You see.
Yeah. And I think someday we could decide to remount it, which would be totally fine. Actually, one of our former company members moved to Helena, Montana, which is where she's from. And she started an amazing company there called Cohesion Dance Project. And they have the rights to, we copyrighted Nutcracker on the Rocks, and they have the rights to the show, and they've been producing it as well there.
Oh, wow.
So the show lives on.
That is wonderful.
Helena.
Okay.
Yes. So it's not gone forever.
And now I'm sure somebody else will take it.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's a really, really, really fun show.
And that's something you created originally.
Yes. Yes. So it is, technically it's called Shira Greenberg's Nutcracker on the Rocks.
Aww.
It's a really fun show. I'm going to be sad when it closes, but it also is really exciting.
It's going to open something else.
Yeah. And I think some of the other projects we have going on, we can't dive into fully. If we're piloting the movement curriculum in 20 cities in detention centers throughout the country,
and
we
want
to be able to properly invest in that.
Yeah.
And we want to work on, you know, new creation. I mean, we're an arts organization and we haven't created a new show in a while.
Yeah.
You know, we create new work and new projects and new smaller pieces, but to create something new as a
dance company.
Yeah. We're ready for that.
Okay. So, well, then it means I have to come here to see it for the last time.
You do. It'll be the last one. So we definitely should come see
everybody's,
it.
Everybody's talking so highly about it and with such a joy in their voice.
It's a very joyful show.
Uh-huh.
And the whole
And it's also inclusive, right?
Yes.
It has children and adults with and without disabilities.
Exactly. It's a fully integrated show.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
you need
fun.
To make sure that somebody is going to film it too.
They'll be filming it. And actually, we're going to film it. hopefully a little differently this year, because we have a lot of different guests coming back in who have been part of the show for 20 years, making little cameos throughout the show. So I'm hoping that we can get every one of those cameos captured as well, because it's going to be crazy. This is going to be a crazy run of the show.
Ooh, for sure. That is okay. Bucket list dropped. Okay.
Yes.
So, and then now you just hosted this Envision in Integrated Dance.
I know.
Regional convening.
It was amazing.
It was really amazing.
It was incredible. This was like a weekend of beauty. It was amazing to watch that unfold.
Yeah. So we were just here meeting on Friday for the entire day, just with the Southwest
Mountain States. Yes. Which was great. I'm so glad we had people coming in from Texas and Colorado and Arizona and Nevada
and rural New Mexico.
Yes, all over rural New Mexico. And then Oregon and California, and the two companies out of Montana that were gonna try to come couldn't make it. But
I know.
This was a great gathering.
I really, you know what, Shira, I'm envisioning here. Envisioning Keshet to becoming the regional hub for integrated dance.
I think it's amazing.
I think it's already happened.
And I think it can be the regional hub for a lot of different kinds of dance. I mean, for not only integrated dance, but also a creative space where people can come and make. I feel like part of what we want to do with this physical space of Keshet Center for the Arts is have it be a really welcoming maker space where any dancer can come and create what they need, create quietly or create and perform, and then all different genres through the Ideas and Innovation Center to be able to create the work that they're doing as well. I mean, the stuff that's going on through the artists that are here is unbelievable. It's incredible work that's happening. The theater company that's a resident here does amazing, amazing work. And the jeweler that is here, her work is like changing the world. I mean, it's like really, really incredible things that are happening. So I feel like the space itself is, hope that's what it's intended to be, is this hub of.
But I have to say, I've been here for a weekend. And, you know, like Alito Alessi, who's traveled in so many places. I mean, he was so sincerely saying thanks to you and everybody here. This place does feel amazing and warm, and everybody seems to be really happy who work here. And you guys seem to really work well together. And so I think you have created something extremely unique.
Thank you.
In a dance world and in an arts world.
Thank you.
And you just built it from a scratch, Shira. That is pretty amazing.
Thanks.
And so quickly in the end, when you think about it.
It feels like it took some time.
I'm sure it's easy for me to see. Yes. Oh, you just did it.
Yes, 20 years. It took 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of funny, actually, when I look back at my original business plan that I made when I was 23 or 22. And it the concept, like the actual goals are all the same. The timeline is definitely skewed in my 22-year-old version. Yeah, it's like, and then year two we'll have this, and by year three we'll have the Keshet Center for the Arts, and then we'll be da 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 da. So year two and three were more like, you know, decade one and decade. It's all right. It's all right. Luckily, I'm a very stubborn person, so I did not want to stop till we were
stubborn and lovely.
Yes.
So
yes.
Those two work well together. Thanks. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me. That was great.
Thanks. Yay.